Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Take your seats. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. We're coming into a time of year that is exciting for some. It is daunting for others. We come into a season, into a month, where a lot of pressure is placed upon people throughout the world and through society, through, you know, the situations that we find ourselves in. And it's called Christmas. That means the Feast of Christ. It's an ancient term. A lot of people say that, you know, Christ couldn't have been born at Christmas. It's a pagan ritual. It's a pagan festival, etc., etc. And as we've already said, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. The reason why Christians come together is that we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ was born. Several hundred years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. He said this. He said, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." When we go forward several hundred years, remember, this was several hundred years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We go forward several hundred years, but back from our time, 2,000 years, and we come to Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and it tells us who it was that Isaiah was speaking about. It says this in verse 11, in chapter 2 of Luke, verse 11, it says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So when you put those two together, you understand that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, his name in Hebrew literally means salvation. Throughout the scriptures, his name pops up through Isaiah. There are several times, if you read it in Hebrew, you can actually read Jesus. It says Jesus. When it talks about salvation, it says Jesus. And he prophesied that this child would be born and he would be the king of the universe. He would be the Messiah. He would be the Savior. He would be the one that would come and that he would reconcile the whole lost, fallen, messed up world back to the God who created it. Jesus. The fact is that he did that. He came. He was born. The scriptures tell us where he was born. If you look back on, for the purpose of this sermon, we're not going to look into all the facts of it and, you know, go down. But he was born where he was meant to be born and when he was meant to be born to the year. When you look from Daniel's scriptures all the way through, you count down all of the years and all the rest of it. He was born when he was prophesied to be born, where he was prophesied to be born. You can't manufacture that yourself. Are you with me? I know I was not meant to be born in Manchester, hallelujah, because I'm a West Ham supporter. It don't go down well up in Manchester being West Ham supporters, and you were meant to be, but Jesus was meant to be born at the time and the place that the Bible says. He was born. And we're not going to look at all of those facts. I want to look at why. Why was he born? What is the big deal about this Christianity thing? Why should we come to church? Surely, in a modern age, in fact, we're in a postmodern age, you know, everything is kind of relative, man. Your truth's cool as long as it don't hurt me, and my truth's cool, and I can have my alternate lifestyle, and I can do this, and I can do that, and, you know, don't worry, it's all religion anyway, and it's outdated, and it's antiquated, and why should I be religious now? We've got modern science, we've got technology, we've got the internet, why do we need the Bible, etc., etc., and you hear all of these things, you know, the people that object to Christianity, it's like, well, what about the dinosaurs, and do you believe in gay marriage, and, you know, in answer to both of those things, very, very quickly, the dinosaurs, we've still got them around, they're just a lot smaller. Homosexual marriage, well, I won't even use the scriptures. I'll just use nature. A man is built a certain way. A woman is built a certain way. When they come together, certain parts fit together, and there's a result of that. God creates things a certain way. And there are many objections. But what is it? Why was Jesus born? I'm quite a pictorial sort of person. I like seeing pictures. I like reading books. I like imagining things in my mind. And when I was praying, I was just imagining this, and it kind of makes sense. And I'm just gonna do it like this. I want to paint a picture for you of why Jesus was born. And when he was born, it was the same as it is today. He was born into a world that was lost and was drifting. In fact, everyone that was in that world and is in the world today was sinking. If you imagine the world, the society we live in, the circumstances, there's a great big ocean. We're in this ocean and we're sinking. When he was born, it was into a world that was broken, and it was filled with broken people, and it still is. And this is often an objection when you start talking about Jesus as Savior. People, they don't think that they're broken. And quite often, it's not that easy to spot. See, it's easy to spot a Cyril being broken, especially dressed up as a turkey. It's easy to spot some of the men and some of the women in the homes that have come from drug addiction and have come from mad lifestyles. It's easy to spot that they're broken, especially when they come sliding in as fat as my finger and they're all messed up and their eyes are going all over the place. It's easy to spot they're broken. But what about the normal person? How can they spot they're broken? Sometimes many people don't realize how broken and how out of place they are. They exist in their lives, going about their business with little or no regard for what they were created to be or created to do. They just float about on the surface of life. They get by. They do what everyone else does. They go with the flow. They're part of the status quo. And that is the majority of people that live in this world. They're not as messed up as I was or some of these people were, but they're still broken. They don't realize what it was that they were created to do. It's a little bit like having a broken Rolex watch stuck up on your wall with its hands stuck at 6 o'clock. Twice a day, it's going to be right. But the rest of the time, it's going to be wrong. And there are many people that are traveling about on this ocean of life, and a couple of times, they do stuff right. And they think that everything's all right. Some parts of their life actually fit. It actually is going right. And they think that's good enough for me. But you don't hang a broken Rolex watch up in your house and just look at the time twice a day. You're missing the point of it. You're missing the value of it. Are you with me? And many people are missing the point and missing the value of their life. Just because by accident you might have done a few right things in your life, it doesn't mean to say that you're fulfilling the object and understanding the value of the life that you're supposed to be living. And how many of us undervalue our lives? And that's a picture of the world, man. It's like a vast ocean. The Bible calls the world that we live in and its problems a sea. When in Revelation, when it talks about the new heavens and the new earth, it says, and there is no more sea. These problems and things that we're facing right now, they're not going to be there forever when God comes back. But for now, they're in. They're here and we're in it. You're swimming about, man. A fish. Hallelujah. Some of you are shellfish. You live a shellfish life. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you are a bit crabby. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are sharks. Not in this place. Amen. You've got to be careful of sharks. There's a very, very good saying. It says, when swimming with sharks, don't bleed. Some people, man, you've got to be careful about sharing your problems with them, right? Because they'll just munch you right up. You ever done that in work? Shared with a colleague and the next thing they've gone to the boss and the next thing you're out on your ear and they've got your job? Come on now. That's the world we live in, man. It's an ocean and it is filled with predators and prey and all of this stuff. That is the world that we live in. And there are people that are in that ocean that are swimming through that sea and they're swimming strongly and they have confidence in their own ability to survive. I'll be all right, they say. I'm strong. I don't need anyone to save me. I'm doing all right. Some of them are there and they've got their stroke going on. You know what I mean? Some of them, they're doing the butterfly. Woo! I mean, if you know, you need a bit of strength to do the butterfly. Hallelujah. Some of them, most of us, we was doing the float on your back and then turn around and do the doggy paddle? Right? How many of you have floated on your back from time to time in your life? You've just got by. Come on now. Let me see your hands. Hallelujah. How many of you, you're swimming strongly? Come on now. It's like, you're even doing it where your head goes underwater. I can't do that swim, man. I can't do that stroke. I end up feeling like I'm drowning. I have to swim like that with me lips out of water. You know what I'm talking about. And I ain't got very big lips, so you know that my head has to stick right up. There are many people that are there and they're saying, I'm all right, I can swim, I'm doing my thing, and for a while it's cool. But then the waves come, and every now and again there's a wave. You ain't always going to be swimming in a flat ocean. Sometimes there are waves that come, and these waves wash over everyone. Waves of fear. Anyone ever felt fear? Who's afraid of spiders? Don't look up then. Someone did, went like that. Oh no. Amen. Some people are afraid of open spaces, agoraphobics. Some people are afraid of confined spaces. What are they called? Claustrophobics. Some people are afraid of work. They're called scroungers. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. People have fears. There's these waves of fear that come. Waves of guilt. Anyone ever felt guilty about anything? Come on now. All of the men's home and the women's home need to say amen. You've all been guilty, right? But you've been trained to be innocent until proven guilty. Prove it. What you don't realize is that the Spirit of the Lord is all over the world. There is an angel recorder recording everything you say and do in a big fat book that one day is going to be right there next to the judgment seat. And when you get there and you stand there saying, I'm innocent, it's going to open it up and he's going to prove that you're not. All these waves of guilt, waves of fear, waves of guilt, waves of doubt, waves of shame. You know, the most prideful people are the ones that probably are hiding shame. Because shame wants to be covered, and it's generally by pride. All of these waves come, and they hit you from time to time. Waves of despair, waves of loneliness. You can be in a crowded room, and yet you're really lonely. You can be there, you can have friends around you, but no one understands. All of these waves, they come, they hit all of us, man. You can be swimming as strongly as you like. You can be in a little group of people. You can be together. You can be holding hands, linking arms. You can be, you know, using a bit of teamwork, but you're there on the ocean of sinfulness and selfishness that is the world and its systems and its ways. And these waves will come to everyone. These circumstances will always seek to overwhelm even the best and the strongest swimmers. And the crazy thing is, everyone in this world, on this planet, is in this ocean. And the reason why they're in the ocean is because they rebelled against God, the Creator, and His will, and His ways, and His plan, and they jumped in. Every time you sin, every time you do something that you know is wrong, every time... People are there because they sin, because they do things that are against the ways that God has intended, against His standard. Swimming in this ocean, living in this way is what the Bible calls sin. It is a condition, willful rebellion, living contrary to God, and it is universal. Everyone who is born and ever has been, apart from one, does it. They sin. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And even the strongest people, and how many of you know there are some strong people? I have met some strong people in my time. They are strong-willed. They are stubborn. They are determined. They are focused. They are driven. Come on now, type A personalities. Watch out, I'm coming through. I am climbing the ladder of success. And if there ain't a rung, I will use your head. But I'm getting ahead. That's why they call it getting ahead. Amen. Because there ain't a rung. You just look at someone else and just tread on them. There are some people out there in the world that are like that. They are type A. They are driven. They are strong. But how many of you know that their strength cannot last forever? You can have the Olympic champion long-distance swimmer, plop them in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. They're not going to get to the shore. Are you with me? You can have the strongest, healthiest, most clean-cut, focused, determined person, and one day they're going to die. No one escapes. Ain't no one gets out of this ocean alive. Are you with me? If the waves don't drown you, if the sun don't melt you, if the sharks don't get you, if your body don't shrivel up and you don't die of some other thing, one day your strength is just going to run out and you're just going to give up and you're just going to die. And then down you go. Is everyone with me right now? Eventually, even the greatest determination and focus of the strongest people gives up. They can't save themselves. Eventually, death comes to everyone. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." See, you'll be out there, you'll be swimming in this ocean, and you might not even realize that you're swimming, but then one day you might wake up and you might go, "You know what? I'm swimming in an ocean. That makes sense. I am. I'm there. One day I'm going to give up." Sometimes it's because you have an experience that brings your mortality close to you. Sometimes you see something. Sometimes you're completely powerless. Whatever it is, whatever the situation that brings it around, there comes a realization that I am lost. I'm paddling. I'm going nowhere. I can't see the end of this thing. The only way out is death. And that's a heavy realization to come to. Some people they kind of see it and they shy away from it. They think they're swimming in an Egyptian river called denial instead of in a big ocean called sin and selfishness. And they're like, "No, ain't gonna happen to me. Ain't gonna happen to me. Ain't gonna happen to me. Ain't gonna." It happened. So what happens? What happened to humanity? What is the point of it all? Humanity rebelled against its creator. The Bible's very clear about that. Sin entered into the world. Everyone sins, man. Everyone falls short. Everyone does their own thing. Everyone wants to be their own God. You look back into Genesis and you see that's why it all come about. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to do God's thing. That is at the heart of all of the wrong things that have ever been done in the world. But there is a hope. There is a message. There is something that God wants to do. There we all are. We're on that sea of life in this world, kicking and paddling, but going nowhere really, except one day down into darkness. You might realize it in an instant, I'm lost. And then a lot of people, I don't know if it was this way with you, but I kind of realized I was lost a few times in my life. I was 10 years as a heroin addict. I was there. I didn't start off as a heroin addict. I started off as a good kid. I became bad. I made wrong decisions. I made bad choices. I got myself involved in it. I was messed up. I was doing all that. In that process of time, I realized that I was lost. But then you realize you're lost. Have you ever seen it? Someone starts, they start sinking, and then they muster up a little bit of strength, and another little kick, and another little paddle. Some people muster up that extra little bit of energy to stay in control just a little bit longer. I want to stay in control a little bit longer. So they have a drink, or they have a smoke of some mind-numbing substance. Or sex does it for some. Let me sleep around. Let me notch up some bedposts. Or some people, they work and they work and they work and they work because it makes me feel good. And they work and they work. And some people are a success. Some people, they've got more degrees than the Masons. Some people, they just want education. They want to know about everything. For some people, that does it for them for a little bit. And then they realize that don't fix the problem. Still broken, still on the sea. Still wet, still going down. Some people like money. More. Someone once said to the richest man in the world, they said, "How much money do you need?" He said, "Just a little bit more. Because it's never satisfied." The flesh is never satisfied. Lust is never satisfied. Amen. Your eyes are never satisfied. Come on now. You get the best car you can get, and then someone gets a new one, you're gutted. You get new shoes, and then you see someone that has the shoes that you really wanted to get. Come on now. Am I in the right? You get a new bathroom done in your house, and the Joneses down the road, they get a new bathroom and a conservatory, and you know, and all of this stuff, and it's all a rat race, and it's all just paddling on this ocean. And am I making you feel gloomy right now? Hallelujah. I'm making myself feel gloomy. I'm up here preaching. I'm like, man, if I didn't know the end of this message, I'd just jump ship right now. I'd just... How many of you know there is a plan? Hallelujah. Huh? It's not for nothing. You can be there and you can muster up that little bit of energy and you can have another little burst, but there'll always be that little voice there, that bit of darkness whispering to you, just give up and die. Just give up and go. Just don't worry. Just ignore it. Just give up. It's always going to be there. Just have another pill. Just have another drink. Just sleep with someone else. Just get another job. Just go on another holiday. Just buy another dress. Whatever it is. But the good news is that in the midst of that dark ocean, in the midst of that life, in the midst of those waves and that circumstance, someone is looking for you. Someone is seeking you out. Someone wants to know you, get you, and save you. Someone wants to do that. But you say, I don't deserve it. Why would they want to save me? I don't deserve saving. It don't matter. That's the point. You can't save yourself. No one can. But someone is looking for you. The lifeboat of salvation has been launched. It was launched on the day that Jesus Christ was born. The lifeboat of salvation into the midst of the ocean of darkness, sin, and selfishness. I sound like C.S. Lewis. Amen. All of a sudden, there's a badger's going to run up and start speaking or something. I started getting all poetic there, and I was like, where's the unicorn sitting at the back? But I'm painting a picture. The lifeboat of salvation has been launched. Jesus is the captain. And how many of you know, there's only one lifeboat of salvation? Not many. There's only one Savior. Not many. All the other Saviors, or so-called Saviors, are at best just other people that might have a life vest made of great ideas swimming in the ocean with you. You got Buddha in the ocean with you with a massive, great big life belt around him that says meditate, and one day you're gonna just wink out into the great oneness of existence and nirvana. And there he is bobbing along with people clinging onto him. And then you've got Muhammad that's there, and he's bobbing along with a life vest, and he's doing his thing, and people are coming in and touching their head to him five times a day and praying and going through whatever they go through. But he's in the drink with them. He's in the water with them. You've got Hare Krishna that's there and ringing a little bell, and there's people bobbing along behind him with little bells. You've got Confucius. You've got who's the bloke that's into evolution? What's his name? Darwin. You've got Darwin there, you know, in a monkey suit or whatever it is, swimming along. And at best, all they are people with some ideas wrapped around them that are bobbing along. And other people are bobbing along with them. But they're not going to be able to get you out of the ocean. Because they can't. Because they're in it. Because they're part of it. Because they're one with it. Because they are people like you. That's it. But the lifeboat of salvation has been launched, and Jesus Christ is the skipper. He's the captain. He's the one that's in charge of the ship. And he's looking for you. And the thing is that he lets it be known that the reason why he has launched that ship is to seek and save that which was lost. He's looking for people that are bobbing along on that ocean. People that are sinking. People that are getting ready to give up. That's why the ship was launched. That's why he was born in Bethlehem. That's why God gave him up. That's why he came to launch the ship of salvation. And the thing is, what he does, he shines his light out across all of humanity. And over the loud hailer, there comes all of these words that start shouting out the promises of God. They start shouting out the promises of salvation. And all of a sudden, there are people that are there in the darkness of that ocean, and you were one, or maybe you're in it right now, and you prick up your ears, and you see a light in the distance. And many times before, you've seen a light at the end of the tunnel, and you've jumped out like that, and it was a rushing train. Another situation, bam, comes and tries to take you out. But this time there's a difference, because this time there's not just a light. This time there's a noise. This time there's a voice. This time there's a promise. This time there's something that you can start to latch onto and you can pinpoint, and it's looking for you. The searchlight of salvation is looking out for you, and his word can be heard. John 3:16, we know this scripture. It says, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He says, God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based upon this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see that what they are doing is what God wants. Some who are floating about in this ocean, but not all, begin to experience a change. They look up. Some lift up their hands. Some cry for help. This is a picture of God's grace. His undeserved favor. See, he sends that out. He starts reaching. He starts working. He starts getting you to prick up your ears and lift up your heads, and he starts to enable you to lift up your hands. He works on you and in you. He enables you to respond, and then faith begins to rise up. Hope begins to rise up. Things begin to rise up inside of you, and people realize their condition. They look around. It's like the light switches on. They look around and think, what am I doing? Why have I been doing this for so long? I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at. I'm just floating. I'm going nowhere. And all that is left for me is either to just sink now or hang on as long as I can and then sink. But it's futile. It's empty. There is nothing to it. Tried it, tasted it, smoked it, fixed it, slept with it, watched it, listened to it. And it is all vanity. It's empty. They come to this realization. They're like, oh no. But the grace of God starts to lift people's hands, starts to lift their eyes, starts to lift their ears. They start to hear, they start to see, they start to hope. And all of a sudden, they cry out. The lifeboat is looking for them. People realize their condition. They need a savior. They believe that Jesus is the one they need because they're hearing it. This word, they're hearing this promise. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to save you. The lifeboat of salvation is here. Jesus is looking for you. They hear it. But what can they do to be saved? The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, and he was speaking about how the Israelites, who Jesus was one, he was a Jew, who had come, that God was had always promised that his way of salvation was going to come through the Jews. But the Jews had kind of got it a little bit twisted up, and they'd added stuff to it, and they'd gone away from it, and there'd been all sorts of madness that had taken place. And when Jesus rose up, many of his brethren, many of his countrymen, they rejected him because he didn't come in the way that they believed he should come. Even though he came in the way the Word of God said that he would come, and he did what the Bible said he would do, they just didn't believe. But Paul was speaking to the church in Rome, and he said this to the Israelites about salvation. Because they had put all sorts of things in place. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this on that day, you've got to do this, don't do that. Oh, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you do that, that's going to happen. But the only way you're going to do it is to fulfill all of these laws, and then you might save yourself. That's like telling people that are in the ocean swimming around, yeah, just paddle like this. No, you're doing the wrong type of stroke. Yeah, when you get tired, no, you've got to do the doggy paddle, man. No, you've got to do the breaststroke. That's the way. If you don't do the breast, it's nonsense. And he speaks to them like this. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He says, dear brothers and sisters, he says, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. He's already done it. The captain's done it. Ship's launched. It's already done. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Then it goes on in verse 5. It says, for Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of his commands. But you can't. How can you obey all of God's commands? You're sinking in an ocean. God wants you to get out. How can you? You ever seen a film? There was a movie once, and there was a group of people, and they were on a big fishing boat, and they was messing around, and they all dived into the ocean, and then they realized that no one had put down a ladder. And there's the boat. They're in the ocean. They can't get back on. You ever seen that? Anyone ever seen that? Nightmare. You'd be drowning the person that was the last one off, wouldn't you? You. Right? You didn't let the ladder down, man. All trying to climb on top of each other's heads, and then all of a sudden, dun 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 dun. You know what I mean? Here come the sharks. You're gutted. That's a picture of what I'm trying to show you. You can't get out yourself. It don't matter what rule you try. It don't matter if you jump out the water. It don't matter if you try and climb up on top of each other. It don't matter if you try and make a lasso out of all of your trunks and try and fling it up. It just is not going to work. You can't do it. And that's what this picture shows. You cannot earn it for yourself. You can't say enough masses. You can't say enough Hail Marys. You can't pray enough. You can't give enough. You can't do enough right things. You can't read enough. You can't do it. He said the Jews, they try to do all that stuff, but they got it wrong, man. That's not God's way. Faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth. Don't say who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There are some people that will try to have it that to get saved, you've got to jump through this hoop, you've got to jump through that hoop, you've got to wash your clothes, you've got to do this, you've got to give that, you've got to go here, you've got to do this and do that before you can ever be saved. Well, what happened to the thief upon the cross that was next to Jesus, who didn't do anything, didn't say anything, didn't pray the sinner's prayer, didn't do anything else, didn't repent, didn't make Jesus Lord, didn't give his life away, didn't do this, didn't do that. He just turned around to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. It was a heart thing that he confessed with his mouth. No one can say that Jesus is Lord unless by the Spirit of God, the Bible says. Then it goes on, in verse 14, it says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe on him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Christ. What happens is the salvation lifeboat pulls up And he pulls up right next to you where you're at. And Jesus reaches out and he says, if you believe in me, I can save you. Mysteriously, some reject him. I don't know why. That's between them and God. They just swim off or they sink. I don't know why. They've heard the message. God loves the world. Everyone's had the option. Everyone gets the opportunity. But some people reject him. Why? Maybe they like swimming. Maybe they've just perfected a new stroke and they want to, you know, I just want to swim a little bit more. Come back later. It don't work like that. You can't save yourself. You can't determine yourself when you're going to get saved. There is grace. There is a reason. There is a time. There is a place. God reaches out to you. Something happens in your life. There is an opportunity. But those who believe, they're raised up out of the dark sea of sin and selfishness into the lifeboat of salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved. We've already seen the grace of God working on people, shining the light, sending the word, preparing their hearts, letting them know where they're at and who he is. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, how is it that someone that is there who reaches up can boast about being saved and pulled into a lifeboat? What can you boast about? Nothing. You just get reached. You get picked up. You get put into the boat and you're saved. Nothing you did caused that to happen. Are you with me? Nothing. But you can resist, you can reject, you can go away. It's a mystery. Many people do it. We see them all the time. We see them out there in the world. We don't know why. They hear the same message. They get the same opportunities. Some people will say they know the answer. Well, well done. I don't. I've looked through scripture. I can't say why people don't get saved. Honestly, I can't. But that's not my problem. That's not my calling. My calling is to reach out with the message of hope and the plan of Jesus Christ to those who are lost, and then it's his job to save them. The thing about it is, then what happens is you get pulled into the boat and then you're saved and you can't boast about it. You've just been saved. There is actually a relief. There is a joy that comes when you've been saved. Anyone in this place who's ever been saved knows what I'm talking about. There you were, lost, paddling around, don't know what the coup is, don't know where you're going, don't know how you're going to get there. You know, you've tried this, you've tried that. Then all of a sudden, something happens, boom, you hear the message. God comes into your life. You go, yes, he reaches up, he reaches down, pulls you up. You're in the lifeboat, you're out to sea. You know there's a difference because now you're not paddling around. You're actually on something that is firm and solid and secure. You're there. There's a relief. You're like, wow, look at that. You're starting to get dry. It feels different. You can walk about a little bit. You don't have to float and bob no more. There ain't no sharks in the boat. Come on now. Things have changed. Things are different. And the good thing about salvation is that it gets better and it gets better and it gets better because you come out of that sea dripping wet, messed up, all shriveled up. You don't know which way is what and what way is which. But all of a sudden, you start getting dried up. You start getting cleaned up. You start getting your strength back and you start getting your mind back that's been burned by the sun and shriveled by the salt and all of that stuff. And then you look around. You start seeing other people. But the best thing that you see is the captain of the ship. He gets you, man, and he speaks to you, and he cleans you, and he heals you. And then when you've gone through a little period of restoration where you're getting your strength back and getting your rest back and getting your mind back, you look around and you see that there's some oars there that need to be manned. And you see that there's a little light there that needs to be shone, and You see a little loud hailer that needs to be spoken through, and there's opportunity for you to get up and actually get back involved with doing the Lord's work and the Lord's will, which is going out and seeking and saving them which are lost. And now you're not just saved, you're not just a fish just there lying in the bottom of the boat just as a catch that someone's going to eat. You're actually a real living person, a new creation, and you have a part to play now in the plan, because the people that were on that loud hailer, you look around and you recognize that it was one of your friends from back in the day. It was your voice I heard shouting out the promises of God. Yeah, that's right. And you see one of your other friends, and he is there shining the light, and you say, it was you that was shining the light. And he says, yeah, it was me, and I'm doing it on behalf of him, the captain, because he is the one that is the savior. He is the one that launched the ship, and there is a part for you to play. There is a plan for you now to get involved and go out and start reaching out to other people. And now you're in the boat and you're like, you know what, I know where one of my family members is. Let's go over there. Right, come on, let's go over there. Shine the light in this direction. My sister's over there. My brother's over there. My daughter's over there. My mum's over there. Let me give me that loud hailer a minute. Listen, I want to tell you something. All of you out there swimming lost and alone in that sea, I was where you're at. I was there. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was what. I didn't know where I was going. I was just headed for the damnation and madness. But I want to let you know, I've been saved, hallelujah. There is a boat coming. It's coming your way. It's called salvation. Jesus is at the helm. He's steering the ship. You start doing that, and I'll get excited. But I'm excited about souls getting saved. You know why? Because I'm still excited about my salvation. Because I know where I was. I know I was there. I was sinking in a pool of selfishness, sticking needles in my arm, running after money, running after power, running after success. And it ended up in the bottle of in the barrel of a needle and in the bottom of a bottle. That's where it ended up. It ended up in the gutter. And there I was, messed up. And I knew I was sinking. I knew I was out of strength. Where were you at? Maybe you got a good job. Maybe you're young. Maybe you're in education. Maybe your future is in front of you. Guess what it is? If it's in the sea, it's wet. It's all it's going to be. It's going to be wet, it's going to be cold, and one day you're going to drown. It's only when you're in the boat. I'm using this illustration of a boat. It goes all the way back to Noah. Noah built an ark, a boat, reminiscent of what Christ was going to do. And he told people and he spoke to people, and they didn't realize that they was just in this existence, that one day the flood waters were going to come and they were all going to drown. They thought he was a nutcase. They thought he was mad. What are you doing building a boat? There ain't even no sea around here. You're in the sea. You're already in the sea. God told me to do it. And that's what he's told us to do, Victory Outreach. He's told us to go out into the boat. You know what? There's thousands of lifeboats called Salvation, and Jesus is in every single one of them. There's millions of them all around the world. These little lifeboats at the same time in the same place. Jesus is the same everywhere now. He's reaching out to someone in China right now, same as he's reaching out to you here in Salford. He's reaching out to someone in Cape Town, South Africa right now, and he's reaching out to someone in Papua New Guinea. There's someone in Argentina right now that's just reaching up and getting dragged into that boat out of that sea. There's someone now in Lagos, Nigeria that is waking up and knowing that he's got to stop sending me them stupid begging letters pretending that he is Mrs. Binky Mboko, the son of the whatever president it is. Save that man, Lord. The same as it is here right now. The same as it is there. Jesus is at the helm. And he's reaching out to you. And if you're swimming in that sea, you might be a good, strong swimmer. But when a lifeboat comes past, don't think that you're strong enough to save yourself. Because if that lifeboat passes you by, man, who knows? Good luck. Because God bless won't apply. And the thing is, when you get saved, it ain't about going to heaven and sitting on a cloud playing a harp. That's hell for me. That'd be like going to hell, man. Are you with me? What is all that about? I'm talking about being fulfilled. I'm talking about not just knowing when you were born, but knowing why. I'm talking about making an impact, eternal impact, leaving a legacy, leaving a heritage of your life, leaving an imprint in this world, and sending ahead everything for the life beyond. This life is but a vapor. It is smoke. You live it for a while, and then comes reality. You can make many decisions in this life, but there are only two decisions after this life. And the thing is, when this life finishes, you can't make those decisions. They've already been made. Heaven or hell. With God or away from Him. The lifeboat is here. I believe that the lifeboat of salvation is being launched into this city again, afresh, in a new way. The light is shining. The loud hailers are going out. That there is a visitation of God coming to this city of Salford, coming to this nation, coming to these isles where souls are going to be divinely saved. They're going to be saved out of every single background, culture, situation, color. It don't matter where you were born. It don't matter what color you were born, what language you speak. I believe that God is calling souls to be saved right now in this city that has the lowest church attendance in Europe, other than Norway. God is going to glorify Himself and save His souls. So, in closing, because I'm closing right now. I'm not closing in 5 minutes. I'd like you all to stand. You know that you're in the boat because you're dry now. There's a difference. There's a difference. You know you're different. You just know that you're different. If you're not different and you're still the same as you've always been, then the chances are you're just paddling about in the water still. Because you know when you're saved. You know, there's a difference. So, you're in this place right now, you're lost. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you're like the broken Rolex. You've got plenty of value, but you're right every now and again, and you think that that's enough. It's not good enough. You've got more value than that. Maybe you're in this place and you're saved, and you're in the boat, and you've been having a good time, and it's all nice, and you're cleaned up now. And you're dry now, and you've got your strength back a little bit. Now it's time to man the oars. Now it's time to pick up that mic, get that loud hailer, get on that searchlight and start seeking out and start searching and pinpointing some people and start shining the light of God's love and His grace into other people's lives. Start speaking out the promises of God and the Word of God and letting people know in truth, in love, where they're at. It's not all right. To be saved. So there's something for everyone, I believe. So what do you do now? I don't know. It's up to you. You might have been to churches, you might have heard of pastors and preachers that say, come up here, say a prayer, do this, do that. That's all right, that works sometimes, that's cool. People get saved like that. I sense in my heart right now that there are people in this place that you just need to cry out to God and respond to the grace that He has given you. There's faith in your heart. You've woken up today and you're realizing, listen, why didn't anyone tell me this, man? I've been living a futile existence. I've been doing my own thing. And you know what? I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. There's got to be something better. I just never knew what it was. There are people that have objections. You know what? But I don't like that, and I don't like this, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to let go of that. Well, that's fine. If you want to hold on to it, then float along. Bob along with it. Hopefully that will keep you bobbing along for long enough. But if not, let go, man. And just take the hand that is offered you. The hand of Jesus. Savior that reaches out, that picks you up out of the trouble, the turmoil, the sin, the rebellion, and the selfishness that you're in, and puts you in His boat with Him. Come on. close your eyes all over this place right now. God so loved the world, that includes you. He gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus. That whoever believes in him, trusts in him, ties their life to him, anchors their self on him, gives everything up for him, follows him, would not perish, would not drown, would not fall, would not go under, would not give up and lose out, but would have, know, live, enjoy, everlasting, eternal, saved, free, purposeful, fulfilled, exciting, abundant life. Father, in this place today, I know that there are souls here that they've never ever responded to your offer of grace. Maybe they've heard from a distance. Maybe they've watched other people do it. Maybe they've thought about it in their own head or their own mind. But today is the day of salvation. Lord God, I pray that that grace that you've been preparing them with, the people that you've put around them that have been speaking the word of God into their life, the examples of loved ones that have changed because Jesus Christ has become their Lord and Savior. My God, I pray that that today would be enough to spark them off, to realize that they're not going to make it on their own in this life, that it's not a fearful thing. It's a joy to be saved. It's fearful not to be. Holy Spirit, all over this place, I pray that you would begin to shine your light into people's hearts. First and foremost, oh God, the people that want to give their hearts, their lives to you, that are convicted of their lostness, their rebellion against you, for doing things their own way all these years, for not doing things your way, my God. Lord, I pray that there will be a change that comes, that there will be an opening of their heart to you, that faith would rise up and reach out to the hand that is offered. And Lord God, that you would pull them up out of the darkness into the light, that you would lift them up out of death into life, that you would change them, oh God, with an exchange of your life for their life, of their wrongs for your rights, oh God. That Lord, that you would take their death and that you would give them your life, life eternal, life lived, knowing that there is a connection again with the source of all life and all power and all creativity, the Creator God. Lord, save souls. If that's you, God's calling your name and he's knocking on the door of your heart, then you respond. And you just say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I repent. You know what that word means? That means I changed my mind. I'm changing my mind. I'm not doing it my way no more. But from this day, I'm doing it your way. I'm doing it your way, God. And then there'll be a beautiful beginning to a long journey that gets better and better the longer it is that you stay on the path. You get freer and freer. Your mind gets bigger and bigger. Your heart gets bigger and bigger. Your experiences get more fulfilled. Life makes sense. Come on, everyone, lift up your hands. Just begin to pray. We're going to sing a song. Make one call, one altar call, but it's going to be in three sections. This section to my right, to the right of the pulpit. If you have a need that we can pray for as the elders of the church, the Bible says, is anyone sick amongst you? Call upon the elders of the church. They'll pray for you, anoint you with oil.